I'm the last one on the platform. I guess it's my turn. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Brother Don, is that Hamilton's? Is that Songbook Hamilton's? You can tell. You can tell. There's just something about their music that is just fantastic. The chorus, "All shall bow." Wouldn't that be great if that were today? I tell you what, I'm ready. I hope you are as well. You watch the news and all that. We were talking about that this afternoon, everything that's going on down in Chile and all that with all these earthquakes and everything. Seems like the Bible has something to say about that. As we get near to the end, which for us is the beginning, I hope you think about it that way, that all shall bow. Wow, what an incredible opportunity we have. And thank you so much for being here this evening. I know Pastor, of course, would love to be here. He called yesterday and asked if I would preach this message. It's pretty much going to go hand in hand, I believe, with what he spoke on this morning. And in regards to prayer and the greatness of it, I hope this evening you're expecting a blessing. I'm excited to have Dr. Williams here in a few weeks as well. And I hope you are as well. Really, a modern-day George Mueller. In a lot of ways, just what the Lord has done through him and for him. And I hope you'll make your plans to be here. Literally, change your life if you could do that. And I know that would be a blessing. You seem a bit subdued this evening. How many of you did not get the afternoon nap? Can I see your hand? That explains it. That explains it. All right, you can put your hands down. Monroe's, we working on pack a pew night over there? That's pretty good. It is shoulder to shoulder, about five rows back. And then there's Dave. So with a little bit of space. So any eligible young ladies want to come up to that spot right there? Not a movement. I know the feeling, brother. Okay. All right. So what is that? It's no big deal. It's okay. It'll be all right. But you know, you seem a bit subdued. How many BBA students do we have here? Let me see your hands. BBA students. All right. How about this? Could I get you a little excited if I would promise you, if you're very vocal, a lot of amens during the preaching, that I'll give you a snow day tomorrow? All right, now you got to do better than that. Snow day tomorrow? All right, now, how many parents of BBA students do I have here? If you'll outdo them, how many? I'll bring them to school tomorrow. Carrie, wherever you are, you must be really rotten. So, because that was the loudest by far. Really, other parents pretty subdued. You kids must be pretty good at home. So I'm not giving you a snow day tomorrow unless it... Well, I have no... Pastor's not here for me to call. And but I don't know. I like working here. So let's see. Do we need candy bars at the end of it? Will that help? A little bit? A candy bar? A little... All right. That's what I was afraid of. So, well, let's see what we can find here. Let's get into the Bible and see what happens. I'm sure it'll be something good because it is the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Have you found it yet? Tried to give you plenty of time. Amen. All right, there you go. There's a few of them. Shawbers, are there going to be food at the open house?
Cookies.
Cookies? That's my kind of food, brother. That's fine. You're coming now? All right, brother, make them nutritious cookies. Sugar-free? Not for me. You don't look at me. Chocolate chip. That's all that matters. So, you like chocolate chip? Do you? All right. I need to get there before you do then, huh? Yeah. Is that right? This is being recorded, isn't it? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, when you don't know what to say, praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, a familiar passage, verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Many a sermon by a better preacher than myself has been preached on verse 14. And wow, what an incredible truth that is there. Our country is in the position we are because we've ignored verse 14. It's us. Let's be honest tonight. Okay, it is us. It is. We're the key. We're the problem. And if we'll turn from our wicked ways, God says, "I've got some promises for you. I will hear from you." If you've been reading your Bible through this year, you've gone through several of the first books of the Old Testament now, and over and over and over again, hasn't the Lord said, "If you'll obey me, if you'll do this, I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you. If you will not, I will not, I will not, I will not." Over and over again, and we see that very clearly in verse 14. But I want to direct your attention to the next verse. Verse 15, he says, "Now, Mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Pastor has asked me very specifically to re-preach a message, reteach a message, if you will, that I taught several weeks ago here at the school, and I'm happy to do it. It's obviously of the Lord. I've received probably more comments about this one sermon, lesson, if you will, maybe than any other I've ever preached. It's simple. I'll be honest with you. It was given to me. I don't want you to walk out of here and say, wow, boy, he really did. It was given to me. But I'll tell you this. I have put it into practice in my own life. And while every sermon has life-changing potential, and they all do as long as they're from the Scriptures, this one especially, due to its practicality, can literally change your life. It can literally change this church. It can literally change Adrian, Lenawee County, and Michigan, the United States, and the world. You have to believe that. You have to believe that because it's from the Bible. I hope this message will be a help to you tonight. Forgive me again. Most of the time, I like to have your insert of your bulletin ready with an outline. Finding out so late yesterday about this, I do not. I would encourage you, though, if you did not use your insert this morning for pastor's message, if you would take it out now, you will need to write these things down. I will try to make this available to you. Those of you that attend the school, Brian, you got this outline a week or so ago in your newsletter. And I don't know if it's still available on the church's website or not. I don't know if Brother Rob erases them or if there's an archive. You will need to write this down. And again, I would love to have it for you, but I just was not able to bring it to you to put into the bulletin, seeing I received word so late that I was going to do this. But if you'll write it down, many of our students have done this. Many of them have come to me and say, hey, Brother Raymond, you know what? I used to, didn't even pray at all. 15, 25 minutes now. I'm praying up 30 minutes. I'm praying 30 minutes now. And if it accomplishes its purpose, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not do this evening, but could I ask you a serious question? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one but myself looking around. Could we be honest this evening? How is your prayer life? Let's just be honest for a little while tonight. Let's forget about what everybody thinks of us. Let's forget about what we think of ourselves. How's your prayer life? I'll not have you raise your hand, but could you honestly say, I pray 5 minutes a day. Don't raise your hand. 5 minutes a day, every day, every day, every day. Could you raise your hand? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Don't raise your hand. Could you? 15? 20? 25, 30? Could we do that this evening? I'm afraid if we did ask, 25. Let's try 10. Let's try 5. Maybe not at all. I hope you'll take the message this evening and just let it soak in and say, Lord, I'm going to give it a try. Let's just give it a try, shall we? Father, thank you so much. Obviously, you're doing a work through this message. It's simply put together. It was given to me. And Lord, for whatever reason, by your divine appointment, it needs to be given out again tonight. I pray that you speak through your word. I want to be very practical. I want to be set aside. I want to be out of the way so that your word can go forth. Your Holy Spirit can work in our hearts. Lord, our failures in our Christian life are prayer failures. Our failures in our church are prayer failures. Our failures in our country tonight are prayer failures. We're not what we ought to be because we're not the prayer warriors that we should be. I'm not certainly going to stand here and say I'm an authority on it. I believe that person's coming in a couple weeks. But, Father, if you'll take just a simple lesson and give it to our folks tonight, I know what you're doing amongst the students. I know in the last few weeks what you've done in my life. Lord, I believe the winds of revival could blow in the horizon and come to this place if we'll get to know you better. Speak through your word as you promised you would, and I'll thank you for it. Amen. I remember it was a couple years ago. I received, actually it was during my college days, just into my freshman year, and I needed a vehicle, and I got what I thought was the biggest, baddest car you could find. I got a 1979 Chevy Impala. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, you can put your hands down. The hood of my car probably was about the organ section here. It seemed like it was that big. It was a massive beast of a vehicle. It really was. And I enjoyed that car. I really did. I had a lot of fun with it. And a nice big engine, the dual exhaust and all that kind of thing. And it was a great car to drive. I had a lot of fun in it. It wasn't the nicest car you've ever seen. I remember in the back seat, the floorboards had rusted out. We found that out the hard way. One time I was having some work done on the car and they had it elevated. And one of the mechanics said, "You see that stuff hanging down from the back there?" And I said, "Yeah, what is that?" And he said, "That's your carpet." That's not usually a good thing. And when you find out that it's the carpet is the only thing holding your backseat passengers up, that really makes it interesting. I invited some people I didn't like to ride in the back seat. And it didn't work, though. They stayed put. So we had a good time with that car. I remember one time we were going down Rawson Lane there right by the chapel. Actually, I believe it was Brent Lane. And used to get some horrendous rainstorms down in Pensacola. And so the roads would puddle up pretty nice. I've told my parents this, by the way, so don't go running to them and asking. They've heard this. That's my disclaimer. And so the speed limit, 25 to 35 miles an hour, we as responsible college students took that as a suggestion. But we'd get in our cars, and I had a buddy with a Jeep and the big oversized tires and all that. And we'd go driving down that road, especially after it rained and all the puddles were in the streets and all that. And we'd go flying over those puddles. Oh, the water would spray everywhere. We had a blast. It was just a tidal wave. We just had a wonderful time. Now, students don't do any of this, by the way. Okay, I'm just saying. But we go back and forth up and down that road. You didn't have to go very fast. The car was massive, and it would just spray the water. We just thought that was the best time till we got to the end of the street. And I remember distinctly one time we had gone through a couple times up and down, and I remember I put on the brake and all this water rushed to the front. And that's how I found out what the carpet and all that was doing in the back. That's when I knew the life of this car probably was not going to be as long as I'd hoped. I can't imagine why. But I remember one time I had an opportunity, I believe it was over a Christmas break, to go visit a friend in North Carolina. And of course I was going to take my dependable Chevy Impala. And I remember this was several years ago when cell phones weren't quite as small as they are now. Back then you really were high tech if your cell phone was about the size of a shoebox. And which I almost wish they were now, so you quit hiding them all over the place and them going off and they're not supposed to. Hint, hint. Anyway, so everybody, is mine off? Is it off? Wouldn't that be the worst if I got called right about now? No, I'm just kidding. And it's off. But I remember, I wasn't high tech enough for a bona fide cell phone, so I got a walkie talkie. It was almost the same size. It was like a phone book. It was huge. And you plugged it into your cigarette lighter, which I never used for that purpose. And so I was like, well, this will be good. If anything happens, got my trusty CD, pull my antenna out, ready to go. Sure enough, going down the expressway, and all of a sudden, boy, that doesn't smell good. That can't be good. Kind of that rubbery, that burning rubber smell. You know, something unfortunate is about to happen pretty soon. And sure enough, smoke, this black smoke started to come out from underneath the hood of the car. I knew things were not going to go well. And so I pulled off to the side real hurriedly and all of that. And boy, what do? You're out here in the middle of nowhere. I've never gone down this road before. And I was like, what does every man do when you have something like that? You go look under the hood. What do we really think we're going to find under there anyway? You know, I mean, is it going to be like a little red light? You know, this is the problem. But we do it anyway, don't we? And so, you know, popped the hood, went and, you know, raised it up. And I'm looking around. Like, what am I going to do, you know, when I find something here? And now, Brett, I'm looking at Brett. He could have probably fixed it, but Brett went around at the time. And but I remember I was looking at that, and it's like, I don't know, just there's smoke everywhere. And, you know, I mean, you start poking at stuff. What is that supposed to do? You know, oh, that fixed it. You poked it just right, you know. But it didn't help. And so finally I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my little walkie-talkie. So I got in my car and everything like that. This is going to be great. I get to try out this walkie-talkie, you know. So I plugged it into the cigarette light. Sarah, you're smiling about this way too much because you remember that B. Sarah Pickenbaugh, she remembers. And so I got my little walkie-talkie thing out. You know, I got it plugged in and everything's, you know. And so I turned it on and I start going through all the frequencies. And, you know, mayday, mayday, women, I'm not flying or I'm not in a ship. That's not going to help and all that kind of thing. And so nothing. About 10, 15 minutes, nothing. So I was like, man, this CB's not helping me at all. I can't get a frequency on there at all. I can't get a voice, a semi-truck, nothing. So I went back on. I looked under the hood again. Still nothing going on. No lights pointing out to what the problem is. So I finally got back in my car. Probably been a good 15, 20 minutes, maybe even longer. Pretty frustrated. Oh, what am I going to do? So I decide, I'm sitting there, you know, my head's on my steering wheel and everything like that. I'm going to a Christian college. I'm studying for pastoral ministries and full-time Christian service and all this kind of thing. And I got an idea. I'm going to pray about this. There's one of the lights. And so I did. And so I remember I put no sound effects, please. This is my time, okay? And save yours for Wednesdays when pastor's back. But anyway, so I put my hood. I put my head on the driver's steering wheel there. And, I prayed. Lord, you got to help me out here. The CB's not working. I don't know what the smoke's all about. I'm poking stuff under the hood and it's not doing anything. And you got to get me out of here. You got to help me out. Before I ended my prayer, this car pulls in front of me. Answer to prayer. Thank you, Lord. And so I looked up almost in disbelief. Isn't that kind of sad? And in a kind of sad, went, wow, you answered. I'm amazed. I was young. So anyway, so I remember he pulled off in front of me and everything like that. Well, I knew it was like a Yugo, the car, you know, like a little, you know, a little wind-up thing. So I knew right away what was not going to happen. He was not going to tow me anywhere. I knew that. I knew that because I've got like a, you know, an aircraft carrier here and he's got, you know, a little wind-up boat. And so I knew that wasn't going to happen, but sure enough, this little car pulls off. I'm about 6 foot. I'm about 6 foot tall. I don't look up to too many people for height. I'm, you know, 6 foot. Out stepped the largest individual I can recall in a long time. It was almost like one of those circus cars. You know, how many people are coming out of this thing? You know, this behemoth of a guy, I've been reading Job, gets out of the car. All of a sudden, I'm not sure if my prayer is answered or not. Because it's like, he's going to kill me. He's going to take this car. He's probably going to eat it. You know, I mean, he was a huge guy. Well, I got out of the car because I figured if he comes to the car, I'm trapped. I can't get out. At least if I get out, I can hopefully outrun him. Because he's a big man in every area of life. And so sure enough, he comes walking up towards me. And, hey, what seems to be the problem? If I knew, would I be here? But anyway, I played along. Hey, you know what? I'm not sure. And, let's take a look. So we did. So we're looking and everything like that. Hadn't the story gotten better since I told it before? It's gotten a little better, hasn't it? And so sure enough, so we're looking under the hood and everything like that. And, and he's poking around too. I don't know what that is about that, you know, but he's poking around. Oh, I see your problem right here. I was okay up to that point. He pulls out a knife that must have been as long as my leg. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where he'd been hiding it at the time. He pulls out this knife. I'm repenting of sins I can't even think of. It's over. My parents are going to miss me. They're going to find me in a cornfield someday. It's done. I'm a goner. My CB still does not work. He pulls out this knife. It's your problem right here. And he cuts one of the belts. You're all set. You're good to go. I was like, you just cut a belt. You're fine. You know, your wheel's seized up there, and you know that's just your air conditioner anyway. So you'll just sweat the rest of the way. Which by then I've been sweating gallons anyway. And I said, "Really? Yeah, go start it up." Sure enough, started up. Smoke cleared up. No problem. I was like, "That is phenomenal." I got out. I slammed my hood. I jumped back in the car. The guy was still scaring me because the knife was still out. I pulled out. I threw a track out the window, and off I went. I mean, that was a testimony. And I figured, you know, it's about what you do with the rest area. It just whip. Anyway, so, so off I went. But I got to thinking as I left there, it's like, you know what? How sad. How sad. You know, here I am going to Bible college, studying for the ministry and all this. Why was it that prayer was my last response? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that we as Christians, that's how it is so many times? And I'm guilty of it too. Oh, got a problem? Let me see. Well, let's call this person or we can fix it here or we'll try this. Why is it that it's our last response instead of our first? And I got to thinking about it. It's like, wow, that's just so sad. And I thought about it more and more. And why is it we don't pray like we should? Could we be honest? Maybe is it because we really think it really doesn't work? It really doesn't. You see, you had a prayer request one time, and you had a need, and so you prayed about it. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe even fasted, maybe you skipped a meal. Nothing happened. At least, this is what's happened to me. And so what happened? Well, I didn't get my prayer answered. I prayed a couple times for it. I even skipped lunch over it. Nothing happened. I'm not praying anymore. It doesn't work. Don't raise your hand, But have you ever been there, or am I the only one? Don't raise your hand. It's happened, hadn't it? Boy, I tell you what. I needed what's been given to me. I hope maybe it'll be a help to you today. I just want to be practical, practical, practical. Now, the title of the sermon, if you will, is How to Spend 25 Minutes with the Lord. That's what we called it. You can write it down if you want to. If you like, I can make this outline available for you, because this really should become a worksheet for you. How to spend 25 minutes with the Lord. Let me just first of all say this. If you really don't have much of a prayer life, can I just encourage you? This is going to be easier than you think. 25 minutes? You've got to be kidding me. I'm not the prayer warrior that I should be, because I don't think you ever arrive. But can I tell you how easy it is? 25 minutes is just gone. It's just gone. How'd that happen? It's gone. And if you'll take a simple outline tonight and just use what I'm going to give to you, which was given to me, it'll literally, it'll change your life. It will literally change your life. Let's get to the outline. I don't want to be too long and belabor it. First of all, here's some things that you should write down. I'll help you out along the way. How do I spend 25 minutes with the Lord? Let me just go. Number one, praise. Praise. Thanking God for what He does. Go ahead and write that down. Praise. Thanking God for what He does. You can write this reference off to the side if you'd like to, and I would encourage you to look at it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go and look at it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Praise, thanking God for what He does. Philippians 4, 6. Let's look at it together and let's see what the Bible has to say. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice what it says there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What's the next two words? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanking God for what He does. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for this evening? I was pleased when I did give this to the students a few weeks ago, and we talked about this. I was pleased with how quickly their answers came. What are you thankful for? You might do this if you'd like to on your sermon note sheet. Go ahead and write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 underneath it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go ahead. Let's just pretend you're in my class here for a few minutes if you would. And just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 underneath that. But here's the best part. You get to fill those in. Take a minute. What are you thankful for? Write your five things down. You're a good class. You really look like you're into this. Anyway, so 1, 2, 3, just fill them in. It won't take too long, and it's, I need 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, but we won't go that far. Let's just stick with five for now. Five things that you're thankful for. I can think of several right off the top of my head. I have the benefit of an outline in front of me. Salvation. Aren't you glad for your salvation? Praise the Lord. If this is our last day and you've received Christ as your Savior, heaven awaits. I can't wait. I really can't. Praise the Lord for your salvation. Christ didn't have to do what He's done. He didn't have to. He didn't have to die for us. He could have easily said, you know what? They're going to disappoint me anyway. Most of them are going to reject me. Why make them to begin with? But He did. He did make us anyway. Amazing. Praise the Lord for your health. If you're sitting here this evening and if you're cognizant as to what's going on, you must have some pretty good health. And praise the Lord for it. On and on it could go. Praise the Lord, we live in the United States of America. Wow, what a privilege that is. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you know, you think of the folks in Haiti and now here in Chile and all this kind of thing. And wow, what devastation is going on in our world. And the Lord, again, you know, things have come our way as well. But boy, praise the Lord, we live in our country where we're free. Praise the Lord for friendships. Praise the Lord for the Bible. I'm so thankful for the Bible. All these things that He does for us. It's easy. I praise the Lord for my Christian parents. I praise the Lord for my family every day. Every day. Lord, thank you so much for my family. Thank you so much for my mom. Thank you so much for my dad. Thank you so much for my sister. Even thank you for my brother-in-law. And I just, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for Jasmine and Brianne most of the time and Kaya and all of that. I'm just kidding, Brianne. It's all the time. And, it's just easy. Thank you for my brother and for his wife and there. Thank you for my family. Boy, are you thankful for your family? You sure should be. You should be. And just thank the Lord for what He does. The Bible says, with thanksgiving, praise the Lord for all the wonderful things that He does. So number one is praise, thanking God for what He does. Off to the side if you want to, write 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You'll blow through that so fast, you'll be amazed. Some of you probably were saying, 5 minutes? The younger ones, I could tell when I preached this, 5 minutes? No way! They've passed that already, and it's only been a couple weeks. 5 minutes, just spend 5 minutes. Let's start somewhere. Okay, let's start. These numbers are not some great revelation, but let's start somewhere, okay? Okay, let's do that. So praise is Roman numeral one. Write the things that what has God done for you? What are you thankful for? Let's start there. Then number two is worship. It is worship, thanking God for who He is. You can write that down. Thanking God for who He is. Let's look at Psalm chapter 99. Psalm chapter 99. Thanking God for who He is. Worship, thanking God for who He is. Psalm chapter 99, again, it's a short one. It's not lengthy, about 9 verses. I love what it says, though, at verse 5. Psalm chapter 99, verse 5. You can write that off to the side if you want to. Number 2, worship, thanking God for who He is. Psalm chapter 99, look at verse 5. I love this verse. Notice what it says here. It says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Wow. What a mental picture I get when I think of that. Worship at His footstool. What an amazing thing that is. The idea of it is just to adore Him. Thanking God for who He is. Just literally the idea of I'm going to get down on my knees at His footstool and I'm just going to look gazingly up at Him. Guys, you remember when you got engaged? You remember that? You got down on bended knee and you looked up at her and she was the most spectacular thing you'd ever seen. And even now tears are welling up in the guy's eyes. Nope, don't see any. But anyway, so you just looked up at her. It's like, wow. And you proposed and all that. And I've lullin' in fub with you. I've fallen in, the whole bit. And will you marry me? And she said, I guess. No. She said, of course I would and all that. And you remember how wonderful that was. And just to look up at her, I just adored her. You remember your wedding day? Guys are like, is it my anniversary? Does he know something? No. But do you remember? It's humorous to watch our wedding video. We had it done, of course, a couple of family members, and then, of course, it was professionally done and everything like that. Well, I got married later on. You know that. I've been around here for a while. You know our story about Angela and I. And so it's interesting to watch the video. One of the video is it's just her all the way down the aisle. That's how it should be. But somebody else, and I don't remember who did this video, somebody else got over to me, and they videoed me. Now, of course, I had never seen the video with me in it because I was in it, so I couldn't see me in my own video because I was in it. But I remember, and it was like, wow. I'm not low-keyed, as you can tell, but I'm trying to stand there and be all dignified and everything like that. But I'm a little bit older than normal here. So it's kind of like, I'm not sitting there, well, there she is. How about that? It's kind of like, you can just tell, it's like, if I could do it without getting shot, because we got married in Louisiana, I would run down the aisle and get her. You could just tell. It was like, wow, I'm just, let's hurry this thing up here, And it's, come. I do. All right. That's kind of how the attitude, that's the look, And the door's open and there she is. And it's like, wow. And, you know, she comes down the aisle. It's like, can you play the organ music a little faster? Let's get her down here. And way too much special music at my wedding. But anyway, but let's get her down here, you know. And I was like, wow. You know, just to see her. And it's just, and if you ever do watch, you know, the video, which I'll charge a nominal fee, you know, we're standing there, you know, enjoying hands together and all this. And somebody's, you know, playing special music. We're talking the whole time. Let's just say this. I'm talking the whole time. And we'd only seen each other literally the day we got married was the seventh time we'd seen each other. Try that. College kids see each other that much in the day. And but it was literally, we got married on the seventh time that we'd seen each other. It was amazing. So we're up there, and I'm talking the whole time and all that kind of thing. It's just fun. I just couldn't take my eyes off of her. And, you know, I couldn't. I think that's how God wishes we look at him. I think God says something. You know, I wish you weren't so busy serving me. I wish you weren't so busy doing things for me. I wish maybe you'd be like Mary and that you let's just stay here. Yeah, I know. I know you're supposed to be preparing the meal. I know that. I know you're supposed to be cleaning the house. I know that. I sure wish you'd just spend time with me, though. I sure wish you'd stop and just think about who I am and that you'd just take some time and that you'd worship at my footstool for just a little while. Just spend some time with me. Just look at me. See who I am. Just thank me for who I am. Wow. I tell you what, 5 minutes won't be enough. It won't be enough. Thanking God for who he is. Well, who is he? If you want to in your outline, you put five things underneath that. Five things underneath that. Thanking God for who he is. Well, who is he to you? 1 John 4:8, the Bible says, God is love. He's love. He's faithful. He's a provider. Oh, I'm so glad he's forgiving. He's merciful. He's perfect. He's our protector. He's wisdom. He's patient. He's unchanging. And on and on and on it goes. But 5 minutes, let's start at 5 minutes and worship him and thanking him for who he is. Then number three is found in 1 John 1:9. You probably don't have to turn there. Number three is confession. Confession. You're already thinking, oh, 15 to 20 right here. Confession, repenting of what we've done. Repenting of what we've done. The sins, obviously. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad he is? I know I am. I need it. I needed it today. I'm sure I'm going to need it again tomorrow. And so he says, spend some time in confession to me. Some people I know, they let take a minute and they write their things down. Some people don't. I think it's a good idea. Lord, will you show me things that would hinder you from hearing me today? Lord, would you show me anything in my life, if there's anything at all in my life that would keep you from using me today, would you show it to me now so that I can make it right with you? Boy, that statement will change your life. Lord, if there is anything between you and I today that would keep you from walking with me and me walking with you, would you show that to me right now? Wow. Confession. Confession. Really, it's repenting of who we are. It's repenting of who we are. When we realize our wickedness compared to his righteousness, confession comes pretty easy. Do you know in the Old Testament, do you know that Israel actually offered a sacrifice for sins they didn't even know they've committed? Did you know they did that? I think that's an amazing thing. And I do that, Lord, forgive me if I've offended somebody and I didn't know it. I have a tendency every once in a while to be maybe a little sarcastic. I try not to be against an individual unless I just genuinely don't like them. No. But, you know, I like to, you know, throw a little sarcasm out there. It kind of gets the blood flow a little bit, gets a grin on people's faces like it did just then, because you're like, who is it he doesn't like? Anyway, and it kind of, but you know what? Sometimes I'm afraid I offend somebody. I don't mean to. I don't want to. But Lord, forgive me if I've offended somebody. Bring them to my mind. I'll make it right throughout the day. And I've had to do that before. Maybe you have too. Many things, Lord, just show me. Show me. The list comes easy here. Sins of the tongue. Huh, wow. We hit home on that one, didn't we? Sins of the tongue, certainly the thought life. Okay, not necessarily just impure things, but boy, you think about somebody else, thought life, treatment of others, worry, pride, sins of omission, sins of commission, neglect of spiritual things. We haven't prayed, haven't read our Bible, haven't talked to anybody about the Lord. I've heard somebody say, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to write the list down and go through and confess all those things. Rip them up, flush them down the toilet. You go ahead if you want to. I think it's a great idea. Because you know what? That's how God sees it. Isn't that great? That's so great that He does. You go to Him the next day and Lord, I did it again today. I did it yesterday. And I don't know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, that sin I committed yesterday? I don't have a clue what you're saying. Why? I bury those in the deep sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions. He said, I don't know what you're saying. That's gone. That's forgiven. You're cleansed of that. Wow. That's just so phenomenal. But let's give ourselves 5 minutes. Wives are thinking, my husband needs double that. No. But let's start with five. Let's start with 5 minutes. Hey, have you noticed by now? You're already up to 15. Gone. I promise you it will be. You try this either tonight or tomorrow morning. Wow. 15, I haven't prayed 15 minutes in years. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Then here's the next one, and you're in Psalm. So let's go to Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4. I love this verse. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4. If you've got your little outline, of course, we started with number one is praise, thanking God for what He does. Philippians 4, 6, about 5 minutes. Number two is worship, thanking God for who He is. Psalm 99, 5. Let's give another 5 minutes. Number three is confession, repenting of who we are. 1 John 1, 9. 5 minutes. Now we're to the one everybody's been waiting for. This is my nice spiritual term for it. Just ask. Just ask. That's number four. Just ask. One of the best books. You ought to have this on your bookshelf, but don't just leave it there. You need to read it. Dr. John Rice has written, I think, is the classic book outside of the Bible, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. If you have never read that book, can I tell you something? You are missing out. I know what people say about Pilgrim's Progress, and I love it. I've read it 2 or 3 times at least, but I think alongside of that ought to be Prayer, Asking, and Receiving by Dr. Rice. It is phenomenal. I know Jan Pearson for a while there. I could not keep that book in stock in the church bookstore. She bought a copy and then hey, do you have another one? I was like, well, why? What happened to your last one? Oh, I gave it away. Do you have another one? I am not without exaggeration. Brother Steve, how many of those books did she buy? Probably close to a dozen. I think she just kept giving them away and kept giving them away. And I just so happen to have a couple of copies in the bookstore if you like it. But you ought to read it. Because you know what? So many times we're all over in it. But you know what prayer is? Prayer is asking. It's just asking. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 37 or verse 4. Look at it. Psalm 37, 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He, what's the next three words? Shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I could see it when I gave this to the students. The desires of my heart. I want an Xbox 360. I want a Wii. I want a big screen TV. I want my parents to move to a foreign planet. And on it, I could just see it. Bing, 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 bing. I could just see it. They were rubbing the lamp of the genie. You can't forget about the first part of the verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Yeah, how do we do that? Oh, by the way, that was points 1, 2, and 3. That's delighting in the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for me. Thank you so much. It was a beautiful day today. The sun shone for a little while and melted some of the snow. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for a great service this morning. I heard wonderful things about the preaching this morning. And thank you so much for that. Thank you so much that we have our Bible. And your 5 minutes will be gone. And, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. You are so good to me, Lord. Thank you so much for your love for me. And Lord, I'm so glad that you're faithful to me. I fail you every day. But Lord, you're so good to me and you're so faithful to me. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for all the things that you've blessed me with. Thank you for my wife and what a wonderful, wonderful person she is. And I love her so dearly. Thank you so much for our little boy and all the joy that he's brought into our house. And thank you so much for my home. And thank you for my parents and a mom and a dad that supported me. have always supported me and loved me and prayed for me, and on and on and on. It goes, your 5 minutes is gone. And then you go to your confession time, and Lord, forgive me for these things. I want to be right with you today. I want you to use me today, Lord. I want to spend the day together. And you confess your sins, and your 15 minutes is gone. And now it's time to ask. To ask. We've spent 15 minutes. We'll give ourselves 10 on this one. You'll never make it, though. You'll need more. You'll need more. It will not take long. Because you know what? I don't know about you, but I need some things from God. Don't you? I know I do. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about me. Because see, I'm somebody's husband. She deserves to have a husband that walks with the Lord. I'm somebody's daddy. He's back in the nursery right now. He's going to be 2 in April. He needs a daddy that walks with the Lord. I'm somebody's son. They ought to be encouraged by their years and years of sacrifice and work. They deserve a godly son. They deserve a son that walks with the Lord, don't they? Don't they? But then I just know me. And while I try to die daily to my flesh, I know, unfortunately, we usually have a resurrection service sometime during the day. And all of a sudden, I've said something, I've done something that I shouldn't have. Lord, I got to have you. I got to have you. And then there's all the other needs besides. Certainly there are financial needs. You probably have some too. Been kind of watching the back of the bulletin. Looks like we've got some financial needs. I wonder how much we prayed about that. I wonder if maybe there's some health needs. Oh, we fret about it, and I'm right there with you. I know exactly what we're talking about here. And you go and you see the doctors and all those kind of things, and you need to. But have you talked to him? Have you prayed to him? Lord, would you please? We have many trophies of God's grace sitting in the room right now. I think back, you know, my mom's back there. That's a trophy of God's grace, what God's done for her. We've got cancer survivors in here. Those are trophies of God's grace. The great physician stepped in. He may have used doctors, he may have used chemotherapy, but he still did it. Because trust me, if doctors could do it, we'd all live infinitely, and we don't. So it's not up to them. It's up to him. I don't know about you. I have no problems with the just ask part. I got plenty of things. Plenty of things. Give yourself 10 minutes. Let's start there. Let's start there. Boy, I hope you pray for our church. I hope you pray for our school. Boy, we need it. We need it. We've got a wonderful, wonderful group of students here. And I think it's because you do pray for them. I know we as a staff, I know we pray for them. I know we pray for you. I hope you've got us on your list somewhere. I hope you've got yourself on your list. Lord, I sure do need you today. Lord, would you fill me with your spirit today? I sure do need you. Just ask. 10 minutes, it won't be enough. It won't be enough. Look at Romans chapter 8, would you please? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. I love this verse. I love this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This is so good. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Notice this next phrase. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God says, do you need proof of my generosity? Need I remind you about the most generous gift you have ever received in Jesus Christ at salvation? Do you need to be reminded of that? Let me just tell you what I was willing to do. I was willing to encapsulate all of eternity into my son who had lived in eternity past into eternity future. But we decided we were going to pull him out of eternity, which we've enjoyed perfect fellowship for. And I'm going to send him to dirty, filthy, sinful earth. And he did. And I'm going to let him be born in a barn, in a smelly cave, in a stable, and to a very meek and mild and poor family. And I'm going to allow him to live his life, have people adore him, reject him. Adore him, reject him. Believe him, not. Wish to stone him, threaten him. Get a conspiracy together to kill him and to be betrayed. And I'm going to let him go so far as he is going to literally spread his arms open wide and be nailed to a cross by the person who at that very moment he is keeping alive. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And God says, and for the first time in eternity, God the Father says, I cannot look at you. And Jesus, in perfect understanding in his human form, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father says, because I am holy and you are sin. I can't look at you. First time in eternity. Last time in eternity. And they took his body down. And they buried him in the ground for 3 days. And finally, the stone is rolled away. And Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. And the blood that he shed has paid for our sins. And finally the day came when he was ascended back up into heaven. And I can only imagine the response at heaven when God the Father says, this is the day! And Jesus Christ comes through the gates and you've never heard singing and praise like you did on that day. And Jesus Christ goes to God the Father. Look at my hands. God the Father looks at those hands who've been perfect for all of eternity. And there's a hole where there was a nail. Look at my feet. There's a hole where there was a nail. And he said, Father, I want it to be like this forever. I want my children to see this forever so that they always remember what I did for them. And God the Father says to you this evening, Brain Baptist Church, I gave him for you. How shall I not freely give you all things? And we can't spend 5 minutes. We can't spend 10. You're sitting there going, 30 minutes, that is out of the question. And Jesus stands there and says, why not? Why not? And you take this little outline and you say, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm just going to try it. And so you spend your 5 minutes thanking him for what he does. You praise him. And then you worship him for 5 more minutes and you thank him for who he is. Then you get to that tough part. You get to that confession and you spend your 5 minutes there. You might be like me and every once in a while you need a little bit more than that. And then you get to the asking because you've delighted in him now. Now you're in the Spirit and you begin to ask for those things that you need. And if you're like me many mornings, you have to kind of, you got to have a clock close by and you look up and it's like, oh, my time is gone. My time is gone and Lord, I don't want it to end. Can we just go together today? Can we just spend the day together? Lord, would you just go with me today? He says, oh, I thought you'd never ask. I thought you'd never ask. 25 minutes won't be enough. It will not take long. But can I just say this evening, this has just been given to me. I give it to you tonight. But can we set aside our piety and can we set aside the fact that I've been saved for years? Say, you know what, Lord, I don't love you like I should. I don't pray to you like I should. Our failures are prayer failures. Our defeats are prayer defeats. Lord, I sure wish you'd just spend the day with me. Can we just go together? And see, that's where the verse is, pray without ceasing. Lord, I got to go to work. Would you just come with me today? He says, let's go. And he gets in the car with you, and he goes to work with you. Mom, you stay home, and Lord, I got to tend to the kids. I got to take care of the house. Would you just go with me today? And he says, oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. It will change your life. But you got to start. You got to start. If you put the outline away and you stick it in your Bible or whatever, and then tomorrow is going to be just like every other day. But can I just tell you from personal experience, and I have not arrived. If Dr. Williams gets here in a couple weeks and he's got a whole different plan, I'm throwing away my notes and I'm going with him. But I tell you what, he won't. He won't. Because he's walked with the Lord for years and years. You just see it, can't you? Wouldn't you like to have that too? Boy, I know I sure would. Green Baptist Church, wouldn't you just like to have that? You've heard it said about Enoch before. Enoch walked with God and was not. Brother Nixon said this the other day in devotions. I've heard it before, but I still love it every time I hear it. Enoch and God are walking out in the field one day, as they did every day. And God said, you know what? Seems like we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Let's just go on home. And Enoch said, you know what, Lord? That sounds good to me. Let's just go. And he was not. Wow. I sure would like to have that kind of walk, don't you? Wouldn't you like that? It means we're going to have to turn off the TV. It means we're going to have to log off the computer. Means we're going to have to give up some things, but you know what? Can I just tell you another little secret? Once you get into it, you won't feel like you're giving up anything at all. Amen. You're just going to want more, and you're going to want more, and you're going to want more. And the Christian life is going to take on a whole nother meaning to you. You won't have to have anybody up here and twist your arm to read your Bible and pray. You're going to be disappointed when you have to stop. I mean it. I mean it. I know what I'm talking about. I mean it. And you'll find out too. Let's just start somewhere, shall we? Our church has some big needs. We got some real big needs. We can't just keep doing what we're doing. We're going to have to do some things differently. It's a prayer failure. It really is. You might have a defeated life right now. Can I just tell you something? And I'm just saying this. Maybe it's a prayer failure. Maybe it's the fact of the matter that, man, I've struggled and I've tried and I've manipulated and all that. But God says, but have you asked me? Have you delighted in me? Have you talked to me? Wow. I just think it'd be so neat to just be praying and to be praying and to be praying. And God says, you know what? I just love fellowship with him so much. Blow the trumpet. It's time. And just be taken home to heaven. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great to do that? But you got to start somewhere. Let's just decide this evening. Let's just set all pretense aside. Just say, Lord, you know what? I'm not praying like I should. I'm not praying like I should. It's a simple outline. I'm just going to take it, and I'm going to try to use it. And Lord, I'm looking forward to finally getting to know you better. Father, thank you so much again for the truth. It's just simple. It was given to me. I give it to my church family. Lord, we need something from you, though. Father, I love to spend time with you. I love to talk about you. I love to just thank you for what you've done. I love to thank you for who you are. And Father, I'm even thankful when I can confess my sins because, Lord, I know then you've forgiven them. They're under your blood. Lord, I'm sorry when the time is over. I wish it could be longer. And Father, it's a sad thing because I'm afraid there's people within the sound of my voice who've been saved much longer than I am, and they do not understand what I'm saying. Oh, God, Green Baptist Church, we've got to walk with you. We've got to. And so, Father, my prayer this evening, as it was when I gave this to the kids, is that let's just set our pride aside, and who cares what anybody thinks, even our spouse. We might have them fooled. Maybe it's time, though, to just come forward this evening and say, you know what, I'm going to try. Let's just try it. Father, I pray that you do a work in this invitation. This could be a turning point. This could be a life-changing moment. I pray our folks wouldn't miss it. I pray we wouldn't. Let's all stand, please, if you would. The hymn's going to be 301. If you'd like to open your hymnal.